Mental Health Monday
on Radio City Talk
with Mick Coyle.
Tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.
Jake, it's great to see you. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. The 6th of November. Remember. The 6th of November. Here we are.
Yeah, it's catchy, that one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's also one of them things where you go, remember. The 8th of November. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work, does it?
No.
You know, they say Mississippi, that one about however many S's.
Yeah.
You've got to remember. You remember the word because you remember the song. But you don't remember you can't remember what the lyrics are.
No. I mean, this is classic Mental Health Tuesday banter. Huh?
It is. I started at Radio City on the 5th of November in 2007. So remember, the 5th of November is actually a really easy date to remember, if I'm honest.
I mean, are you forgetting that date?
No.
Okay, but I mean, because it's bonfire night, isn't it? So you remember it anyway.
Exactly. But the actual having the phrase remember the 5th of November doesn't work, does it? Because it could be remember the 3rd of November.
Could be.
Unless you just remember the whole phrase, in which case, just know the date anyway. It just strikes me as a really odd thing. The first Wednesday in November each year is National Stress Awareness Day. Were you aware of that? Stress Awareness Day. Mind have got some stuff up on their website, mind.org.uk. You can find out about that way. National Stress Awareness Day is a great opportunity to take a moment to think about our well-being and find advice or support on managing stress. In 2018, I think we are very quick in society to get stressed. I think because everything has to go a certain way in life. As soon as something goes slightly wrong, it's stress. Mm-hmm. So like my car broke down on Sunday, straight away I was in full stress mode because suddenly I was thinking, I've got to miss this christening that I'm going to go to. I'm not going to be able to get to work on Monday morning. My washing machine went kaput today. Mm-hmm. I'll explain the reasons why for that on Dad's Hour, by the way. And I was stressed. I was suddenly thinking, I've got to find money to fix this and I've got to find a time where I can organise somebody to come around. And then It's like pins start falling down in front of you.
Yeah, I can't remember the date. I don't know what date is. I don't know if there's a rhyme. I mean, I don't know entirely the reason behind it being the first Wednesday of November, but I would hazard a guess. It's got something to do with the approach of the end of the year and Christmas. Because basically, as soon as Halloween and then Bonfire Night, which is so close anyway, as soon as they're out the way, then everybody's like, oh God, we have to get ready for Christmas now. And Christmas, although for many is a very good time, it is stressful. And it's also a quite difficult time for a lot of people as well. So I would hazard a guess that that is why National Stress Day falls on that date.
Common signs of stress, feeling irritable, aggressive, impatient or wound up, overburdened, anxious, nervous or afraid, like your thoughts are racing, you can't switch off, neglected or lonely, you feel depressed, uninterested in life, like you've lost your sense of humour, a sense of dread, you're worried about your health, you're unable to enjoy yourself. I think virtually everybody would say one or two of those things. Just on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know, that sense. And I kind of have it sometimes when I'm leaving work and I don't necessarily have a stressful job, but it's a relatively sort of high stakes job that I do. But I almost have to have like a decompression period afterwards where I kind of go, right, let that go now.
Mm.
And I guess a lot of people are like that. But, you know, if you're going from work straight home, sitting in traffic or standing on a train full of people, or you lose your card in the middle of all that, or you forgot your lunch and then you don't have time to go and get some. These things just happen, don't they?
Yeah, and as well, if you've got a job that you do take home as well, and that's why it's important to have cut-offs and to have... So when I started doing this job, and because although I work for the charity, I work on my own and alone, and people kind of... I think we've spoken about this before, but people kind of have this idea of if you're working for yourself or working on your own, and you're managing your own day to day, then actually that's the dream, that's the ideal. But you know what? It's so difficult to have a cut off, and I've been quite strict with myself since I've started this role earlier this year. But I know a lot of people who literally, because they are working for themselves or from home or whatever, don't have that cutoff. And cutoffs are so important because otherwise you will be working constantly all night, weekends. It will be taking over your personal life. And everybody needs to have a time for themselves and for your hobbies and do things that you enjoy. And it's important that, you know, you've just said there that you have that moment where you have that kind of compression and you get rid of that. But, you know, you've had to learn that, haven't you?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things where most people's lives, if you could, if you had more time to go down to the gym, or if you had more time to go for a run in New Brighton, or if you had more time to take up cycling and go and cycle around, you know, North Wales, you would do. But the point is that most people don't have the time for that. And I think that's one of the things with stress now. Everything has got to happen by the book because people's lives are so, you got to pick up the kids, you got to drop off the kids, you got to get the shopping in at that point because the rest of the time, you know, you've got to do something else on a Sunday. You got classes to drop your kids off at maybe. You've got to be at work at a certain time. You got to leave the house at 8, but you've got to got the kids ready at breakfast club, but you've not made their lunch and their school uniforms dirty. You could do it like an extra 3 hours in every single day whereby people could go, you know what, something's gone wrong now. But actually, that doesn't really matter because I've got enough time. You know, if I'm running late for work, I don't need to be thinking, oh, no, I'm going to lose my job. I should be able to think, you know what, I'm going to be late for work. But there's absolutely nothing I could have done about this situation. And I know that my boss will understand and I shouldn't need to worry about it.
Well, that's the ideal, isn't it? But the reality is people are now under more pressure than they ever have been. Now kind of people are expected to do more for less. People do live lives where the slightest thing that could go wrong can be devastating for them, and stress is only kind of going to be getting bigger. I think sometimes it can be used a bit flippantly, and I think people don't appreciate, I think a lot of the time people see stress as an excuse to get sign off work. Like, you know, you hear that all the time where people say, oh, they're just saying that. But stress is a serious thing. Do you know what? Actually, earlier this year? I think it might have been last year. And I went to the hospital because I was really feeling really, really unwell. And I went to the doctors and they sent me straight to the hospital with a letter because they suspected that I had meningitis. And it wasn't. It was stress. When I got to the hospital and we'd done the tests and everything. And was it meningitis? I can't remember now. But it was basically, I had a stress headache for about a week where it was like a migraine beyond what I'd ever experienced. And it was purely stress. So it has that physical impact on you.
So I know somebody, I won't go into names here, but you know you get chicken pox as a kid. The chicken pox stays in your system and can come back as shingles in later life. And it can be actually quite damaging if you're an adult. And I was like, oh, how did you catch that? And they said, oh, no, you can't catch it. It stays in your system. But actually, if you are, you know, really under the cosh and you start to get down on yourself and you really start to struggle, you know, if you're particularly stressed out, it can then essentially awaken within your system. Then you're having to deal with that as an illness as well. And this is the thing as well, people will be sniffy about stress and they go, oh, stress, because everyone's had a day arms completely stressed out. But actually, if you have a Monday like that and you get back in, you've still got all those emails and your boss is still on your back and you've still not completed the task and your kids are ill and you've got to deal with that and you're not sleeping at night, then you do the same on the Tuesday, then you do the same on the Wednesday. Do that for like 3 weeks. That's not just, oh, Mick's struggling to cope here. That's actually, there's somebody who has got an unsustainable life, and the thing that's going to break is going to be you.
And it's a perfect example of how that kind of the correlation between mental and physical is that absolutely they are connected, and something that mentally you're struggling with will affect your body, and physically it will affect you as well. So yeah, it's something that said, you know, people kind of use flippantly, and but it is a really, really serious thing.
You've always got to make time for yourself, which is why it was good to invite the team on from the Three Little Birds organisation. They've got their drop-ins, cafes, grassroots organisation, but actually coming from kind of like a trained point of view as well, with an opportunity as well for people to get on board and volunteer. They have a drop-in mental health cafe in Skem. They've got another one in Leigh. They're opening another one in Wigan as well. What a great idea, and actually a sense that away from the clinical side of things, just creating spaces and environments with people can create a nice environment where people might be signposted to whatever service it might be, but over the course of having a nice cup of coffee, cup of tea, biscuit and a game of pool.
Yeah, and do you know what? These are the services that are going to be life-saving, because they're the ones that are going to be changing how people see seeking help. Once again, it's showing that kind of that peer-led support of somebody who's been through something, who understands and then creating something because of their own experiences. And yeah, you know, these are the ones that I like to champion and shout about, because they're exactly why we created the Hub of Hope, to make people aware of those support that, that are available.
Good to see as well that they're kind of doing that at a grassroots level. They're essentially volunteering the whole thing. But they're very much aware that when people do ring through certain services, they might be waiting on an appointment. They might be waiting 6 weeks. They might be waiting 6 months for something. They're saying, well, you know, when we're open, come down.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And this is part of what we're trying to change as well, is to have this kind of joined up approach to say, if you are on a waiting list, you can go and get help elsewhere. You can go and see other people. You can go and get support. If you're just taking medication, you can still go and get support. If you're even receiving CBT therapy or counselling, for example, and there's a week between your sessions, you can go and see other people, you can go and get the support. And everybody should be just having this joined up approach to say, look at all the support that's out there. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It can be, you can be going to see 4, 5, 6 different groups if you want.
And actually, that might be part of the thing that makes a difference for you. I've got a list here from Mind about how to manage stress.
Okay, so you basically, you've not been listening to it, so you've been researching. You've been on your computer while I've been talking.
No, I do my research before we come on air, okay. Jake, because I'm a conscientious broadcaster.
So she's gone back to
it. Right, so Jake, just as a reminder, what you just said there was actually, if you are going through different types of services such as CBT, you said CBT therapy, the T already stands for therapy, I was paying attention to what you were saying, that you can actually go and get other services at the same time and use those services. You might get 4 or 5 different things, you know, just to summarise what you said.
Yeah, no, that's good, because now we've doubled up on that.
And I said it quicker. I've got the things here you can do to try and reduce stress. Reward yourself for achievements, even small things like finishing a piece of work or making a decision. You can take a walk, read a book, treat yourself to food you enjoy, or simply tell yourself, well done. Get a change of scenery. You might want to go outside, go to a friend's house, or go to a cafe for a break, even if it is just for a short time. Take a break or a holiday, time away from your normal routine can help you relax. Resolve conflicts if you can. This can be sometimes be hard. Speaking to a manager, colleague, or family member about problems in your relationship with them can help find ways to move forward. And forgive yourself when you make a mistake or don't achieve something you hope for. Try to remember nobody's perfect, and putting extra pressure on yourself doesn't help. Advice there courtesy of the Mind website ahead of National Stress Awareness Day as well. Given a change of scenery is such a good one. I remember when we had our first, and I think we stayed in the house for like 10 days. And when I went out, I had to go out to the shop, I think to get baby formula, because breastfeeding wasn't going exactly according to plan for either of us. And I went out and I went, you should go outside. And my wife was like, well, what's out there? I was like, no, it's just the same. It's just the world. The world is going by in exactly the same way it was before. And while we've created this environment of absolute chaos in the first 10 days of becoming parents, the rest of the world is still happening. And that very much helped me, having had that little change of scenery.
Yeah, and I think you made a point before as well. And I think there's a role within workplaces as well about looking at stress, because a lot of it will be work-related. But how many times are you just going to work, going home, making a tea, going to bed, getting up, going to work, going home? And it's about breaking that cycle and that change of scenery. As you said, whether that's kind of going for a walk of a night, or, you know, just having something that can just break that cycle of just one place or the other, and the only other place that you are is in the car or on a train going home.
Yeah, and hopefully you're able to make some time for yourself, because people will go, I don't have time to do that. But if There's you can make that time. Time, if you can make that time, it can make a real difference. Jake, what are you working on with Chasing the Stigma and the Hub of Hope this week?
Yeah, so we are still promoting our Ambassadors of Hope training program, which is our accredited training program. We've just trained 70 more members of staff at Everton last week. So if anybody wants to find out about that training, you can get in touch via chasingstigma.co.uk, and just promoting the Hub of Hope and letting people know about the support that's available. And anyone who offers any mental health support, please register to be part of that. It's free to use, free to be on.
Jake, thank you for your time.
Mental Health Monday
on Radio City Talk
with Mick Coyle.
Tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.